Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Jacob Engel. Jacob is the founder and CEO of Yada LLC, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and TPL Consulting and Leadership Coach. As the son of a Holocaust survivor and self-made man, Jacob quickly learned the value of hard work. In 1976, as soon as he finished school, he started working in the family business. The business was growing quickly, so he had to learn and adapt just as fast. In 1994, he became the COO, and that meant he had to learn more about being on the business and good business leadership. In order to do that, Jacob read a lot and attended multiple trainings and courses. He became a certified positive psychology coach, Myers-Briggs Types Evaluator, Seven Habits Facilitator, and has also been trained by Roy Camarano in his methods. Jacob's leadership training hinges on the people that make up a company. As a result, he encourages his clients to connect and empower their own employees. He's given numerous seminars, worked with many companies in training their managers and leaders, consulted for organizations big and small, and wrote the book, The Prosperous Leader. Jacob aims to help anyone and everyone from the budding entrepreneur to growing businesses to family enterprises. Furthermore, he does extensive pro bono and community-based work. So, Jacob, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here. You'll excuse a little bit I'm nursing a little bit of a cold, but otherwise I'm doing great.
All right. Well, I hope you're having some chicken soup, Jacob.
Right. Chicken soup for the soul.
It's the time of year for the chicken soup. Yeah. All right. So, Jacob, let me ask you the first question. I really like to talk about, I have a number of C questions. So the first question I'm going to ask you about is clarity. When you were in the family business, right, you became the COO, and then ultimately somewhere along the way, you received clarity that you needed to do something different with your life. So can you talk a little bit about how you received that clarity? Like, what happened? What's the story behind that? And what you saw when you got that clarity, how you saw yourself in the future and your vision. Tell me a little bit about that.
Great. That's a great question. I can actually recall the moment that I had that aha moment, the clarity. And family businesses, entrepreneurial businesses have somewhat similar challenges. It's just the challenges with your family. But a growing business is something that continuously revolves itself. And as a leader, you need to continuously evolve into taking the business from one level to the next. And it was hugely challenging. We were high growth. We grew the business. And unfortunately, at that, in 1995, my father passed away. He was my biggest mentor. And here I was sort of on my own with other family members, but trying to figure out how we take that business to the next level. I recall bumping into a fellow who told me he works for a consulting company that helps family businesses and entrepreneurial businesses. I said, tell me about it. What do you guys do? Because I thought we were so unique. I thought family business is so unique. Nobody else understands us. We're just different. It was very easy to go into the rabbit hole and just hunker down. But he said, no, your challenges are challenges that everybody deals with. This is what we do. He was a consultant, obviously trying to sell his services. But the clarity that I got from him was that this is something that people spend their time helping companies grow to the next level. We actually hired some consultants. And that gave me an insight into that there's a lot of knowledge out there. it would behoove me as the leader to go out and figure out the different techniques that help companies grow to the next level. So I made it my mission and passion to really study everything I can lay my hands on. And one of the great publications that I was reading at that time was something called, which is still around today, called the Harvard Business Review. And I recall reading an article by my now mentor, Roy Camerano, who explains all the different phases of entrepreneurs and where they fail. And I said, wow, this guy really understands it. And it took me many years to finally connect with him. And then we became close and he's my mentor. He helped me write my book. But there are people who actually understand and really can add tremendous value. That was a huge insight, a huge aha moment for me.
Beautiful. Well, you know, I think as an entrepreneur myself, and, you know, almost all the Men on Purpose that I interview are entrepreneurial in some way. One of the things that has happened for me on my own journey and that I'm sure you can relate to is, like, you really don't know what you don't know, right? And so you're doing the very best you can under the circumstances. You don't really know what you don't know. And then all of a sudden, a doorway opens and you see, oh my God, there's so much more that that I could know. And so what I love about what you said there is as soon as that door opened for you, you made the decision that you were going to educate yourself and that you were also going to get help. So you could have just kept yourself in your shell and hidden away and said, I'll figure this out, right? But you had the courage to recognize that you required support and the courage to go ahead and get it. So can you talk a little bit about where you find the courage or where you found the courage then? Because you've, you know, certainly evolved since then. You've got your own business now.
Correct.
So where did you find the courage to maybe walk away from the family business? I don't know. Are you still involved in the family business? Did you sell it? Tell me a little bit about that. And,
right.
And more importantly, I want to talk about the courage.
Right. To your question, I did. The family business eventually was split up to different family members. My participation was mostly in the real estate side. We also had owned a spice company, a nut company, and I would travel the world for spices, which was interesting on its own. But the courage really came for me through a lot of reading. I was not a particularly good student, but I was an avid reader. And I read everything I can that would be of interest to me that I would read. And I continuously read about how leadership is created. And it requires a huge amount of courage, or like the saying goes, you know, every success is on the other side of fear. Stepping out of our comfort zone. And it was a huge stepping out of the comfort zone for me to leave the family business. Family businesses are notorious for what they call golden handcuffs. It is not easy to walk away. But stepping out of comfort zone, having the courage, taking initiatives, that became something that, and I would probably say that my best training or my most significant training that I got was at the Covey Institute in Provo, Utah. And that's why I became a facilitator. That's been significant leadership training for me.
Sure. So one of the things I also know about trainings is that they actually provide a community, right? There's
Correct.
A community of other people that are all learning together. So what do you do to foster and grow community, a community of peers and colleagues that you can connect with, as well as a community of resources of coaches and consultants that you yourself use to grow and expand your own business?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the role of community in your success.
So it's not easy. It was not easy to find the mentors that I was looking for. But when you find them, you really want to and make sure they stick. And Roy Camerano has been probably the best mentor I've come across. In addition, for a few years, I was part of Vistage. I don't know if you're familiar with Vistage. I was a Vistage chair myself, and that's a huge community. And we would get together and share best practices. Today, there are many different other mediums. LinkedIn has become a great source and a resource, and you can connect with people that are like-minded. I try and attend conferences. I try and read continuously. Podcasts. I listen to the podcasts that are of interest. Overall, I've developed a group of people that I talk to continuously. And one of the greatest things that I found over time is that, you know, there is a saying that when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. If you're really out there and you're really interested in learning, it will come to you. It'll appear. And great things have shown up on my doorstep. And I'm forever grateful for all the learning I've been able to do.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to ask maybe a deeper, more revealing question here. One of the things that entrepreneurs across the board either are concerned about, or if they aren't concerned about, probably ought to be concerned about, is cash flow. So can you talk about when you made the transition from being in the family business and having those golden handcuffs, right? You said it yourself, you had the golden handcuffs. When you made the transition of unlocking the golden handcuffs and stepping out on your own and having your own venture, can you talk about, you know, what it took? Like, how long before you had cash flow? Was it something that happened immediately, or did you have to have patience? You know, what was the strategy that you used to make the leap? Did you take baby steps in the direction of starting your own business while you were still involved in the family business, or did you take a flying leap? Can you talk a little bit about that experience and about, you know, your fastest path to cash flow, or maybe it was a slow path? Talk about that.
That's a very good question. So I was sort of lucky because when I left the family business, A, I was still involved in the real estate side, which gave me a significant amount of cash flow. I also had shares in the business, which I sold, and I had cash flow. But there's no question that when you're on your own, I do tell entrepreneurs it's a 3 to 5 year path to profitability. And unfortunately, many entrepreneurs really think that overnight success is overnight, but it's never overnight. It takes persistency and tenacity and iterations till you really find that success, and then you can build on it. It's been a journey. It's been a journey. But the biggest challenge I had stepping out on my own was that when the financial markets collapsed, the real estate markets and the financial market, I had a lot of money invested in the stock market, a lot of money in real estate, and all that evaporated. So that was a significant challenge for me to be able to overcome that. Curiously, out of that came my career, because what happened was, as a community, people got together to help people that had lost their jobs, lost their businesses, lost their financial freedom. And I was asked to become part of our initial group to share some of my experiences and knowledge and see what we can help each other. And out of this community, sort of in a short form, I had spent once or twice a week with this community trying to interview people, find out what was their challenges, how I could be of service. And what I realized, and this is part of what I'm trying to accomplish today as well, is that many people, while they have, say, they say they have 10 years experience, 20 years experience or more, sometimes all it is 1 year experience 10 or 20 times over, meaning they don't have transferable skill sets. They learn something, they just do it like a robot, and if they lose that job, they can't reinvent themselves. Mm. And it's a shame. So out of that community meeting, what I did was I took a group of 15 people that were either lost their jobs or lost their businesses, and I said, here's the deal, guys. I'm going to give you all the knowledge that I've accumulated over time. I will throw the book at you. Whatever I've done, whatever I've learned, we brought in the Covey people, we brought in Rui Camarena, we brought in everything. And fast forward over 6 months, they all got jobs.
Nice.
And that was a really gratifying thing, which then created the Yeda Institute, which is a leadership and training facility. And I've been really talking to employees and employers, make sure you have skill sets that are transferable. Empower your people. Now, you know, there's this famous cartoon or joke about the CFO asking the CEO, what happens if we train our people and they leave? And the CEO says, well, what's the other option? We don't train them and they stay.
Good one.
So I really try to help people figure out your strengths and abilities. What are the skill sets? What do you need to be successful? Because those are things that you can always reinvent yourself with.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break here, Jacob. And when we come back, you just said you threw the book at them. We're going to talk about the book that you actually created. So Right now, though, I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Morocco. We have listeners in Morocco. We're now up to 53 countries as of this recording. So thank you, Morocco, for tuning in, and we will be right back with Jacob Engel.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Jacob Engel, the founder and CEO of Yetta LLC and TPL Consulting and a leadership coach. Jacob is the author of The Prosperous Leader. So, Jacob, I want to talk a little bit about your book, The Prosperous Leader, and to let people know where they can find out more about you. So, listeners, you can go to theprosperousleader.com, theprosperousleader.com. And before we went to the break, Jacob was talking about how during the real estate crash and the financial markets crash came his career. So out of the crash came your career. And I'm really excited to talk a little bit more about The Prosperous Leader. Can you tell us about the book and about some of, maybe give us maybe two or three immediately actionable steps that our listeners can take to be able to be patient on that 3 to 5 year path to profitability that you were talking about before the break?
Right. Very good question. So when I talk about the book, it comes out of that when we were doing the 6 months training and we introduced a lot of different books, a lot of different theories. And I would encourage people to read this book, read that book. So people inevitably would come to me and say, you know, is there one book that I can read that encompasses a lot of the things that you're talking about? So now I say, aha, here is the one book. And what I did in the book, well, there's two parts to the book. Number one, and this is the first and foremost reason I wrote the book, and probably it's the biggest motivator for me and for people that I help go to that next level. And you mentioned that in the beginning. My dad was a Holocaust survivor. His father had perished in Auschwitz. He came here with no language, no money, no family, and started from scratch, from the bottom, and built a huge empire, but very patiently, and was probably the best leader I've ever come across, and I've come across hundreds, maybe thousands by now. What I include in the book are sort of the Ten Commandments that I use sort of because I learn from him every day. And some of the great sayings that he had was, number one, never confuse efforts for results.
Beautiful. Oh, my God. I love that one.
Right.
Never confuse efforts for results.
Number two, there are 10, but I'll just pick three. The other one is know what you stand for and know what you won't stand for. Because integrity is so important. Values are so important. And people tend to just drop it at the too quickly. And it's and the third thing, and these are for people that are in sales or entrepreneurs that have sales, everybody can sell a dollar for 99 cents. And the trick is to be profitable. So those are some of the things that I've learned from him. The second part of the book are what I would say the 20 best leadership lessons I learned. Each chapter is either a book on its own, or at least a significant part of the book. I've also included a lot of the Covey stuff that I've learned because it's a hard read. The Seven Habits, if you've read it, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. So I try to simplify things, make it, and there are a lot of great examples and how we use that in the entrepreneurial world, the business world. Some takeaways. Number one, look at our, you know, we're all inevitably immigrants, if not 50 years ago, then 100 years ago, if not 200 years, the founding fathers, look at what they had to do to give us what we have today. There's a great saying, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, if not today. So really focus on, and we spoke about this earlier, of giving back, giving to the community, giving, the abundance mentality is huge. And what I find is the more I give, the more I get. Don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid to share. Help people. That's what every person in their lives needed, somebody to help them. Somebody helped my dad, and that was how I'm here today. And we always need to learn that. One great lesson is look at past history. We had founding fathers that had tremendous amount of values, a character. We need to not forget about those tremendous values and be okay to give back. Yeah. Make that part of your mission. And I want to commend you for doing that, because that's really what you're all about.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's funny you're bringing up the founding fathers, because I was reflecting this morning, and for me, gratitude is part of the equation, you know, part right. of the abundance equation and the contribution equation. You can't give when you're not in gratitude, right? When you're feeling less than thankful, right? So this morning I'm in the bathroom getting ready for this broadcast, and I looked at my washer and dryer, and I had a sudden moment of reflection, thinking it wasn't much more than maybe 100 and so years ago, right, that we actually had to wash our clothes by hand.
Right. You know, down by the river.
One thing, just that right. one thing, that right. one change freed up so much time and energy for us to be able to make a different kind of contribution to the world. So right. thank you for bringing that forward, right. Jacob. And I would like to talk to you a little bit before we close about the effects of change, because it really, I mean, our world has changed significantly in the last 100 years. It's changed even more significantly in the last 20 years.
Right.
And change for me feels like it's going faster and faster than ever before. Right. So one of the things that's interesting is we're talking about being patient, right? And continuing to advance your plan and advance your plan and advance your plan. What do you tell your business owners and your entrepreneurs when all of a sudden they've been going down a path and they've been persisting and they've been practicing and they've been doing all the iterations and the experimentations, and all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from under them and a big change comes that literally disintermediates them or disrupts their entire plan? Can you talk about the effects of change and how you support your leaders to navigate change well?
That's an excellent question. And I do want to go back to another motto my father would always tell me, that when one door closes, two others open.
Nice.
And we need to understand that there's a reason why things happen to us. And if you're a believer, it's easier. But whatever it is, there is energy that helps us if we don't fight it. We go along with it. Obviously, we can have, and you know, there's the balance between what we call project ADD and jumping on every new idea versus really understanding that change is going to happen and we need to be part of it. But there's so much opportunity in change. It creates unbelievable opportunities. I mean, I can talk to you today and we're miles apart because of new technology. Once upon a time, it would be months in traveling. I used to travel for spices to all the third world countries, and even 20, 30 years ago, it was a huge challenge. I would end up in all the jungles and all the spice countries. Today, people Facebook, people, everybody's on Twitter, everybody's on LinkedIn. The world has become a flat place, and that allows for so much more interaction, and I think that people really need to take advantage of the change, and those people that do really do well.
Beautiful. Well, one final question before we close, but before I get to that question, I just want to kind of recap what I just heard, is you actually teach your leaders to face change with optimism.
Correct.
Yeah, I really like that. So my last question.
In every cloud, there's a silver lining, so to speak. Look for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Be optimistic. Right.
Beautiful. So the last question I have for you is, once you have brought into fruition what it was that you visioned, that you intended, like, for example, your book or your new business, or you landed a new client or whatever, what do you do to celebrate, Jacob? Because I think celebration is like the fuel to keep us going. So what's your form of celebration?
Whoa. So I think I do not celebrate enough. Maybe that's sort of a little bit the Holocaust mentality, or I'm not sure, but that's a great question. On the other hand, you spoke about gratitude. So I'm continuously in gratitude.
Sure.
I'm very big in attitude of gratitude.
You're celebrating all the time.
Sort of. I'm looking at the opportunities. I'm looking at that. I continuously have this huge impact on people. And it's really very gratifying. So when I just recently did a company, they had 300 plus employees, 5,000 aides, and we really got them to think about how they can do things better. It's a very gratifying opportunity to have impact on people. And I find that, so that's the gratitude that I find. Maybe, like you said, that's the celebration.
Maybe that is. All right, Jacob. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you. These interviews go so fast. It's
amazing
how fast they go.
Appreciate it.
And I'm so grateful that you came to be with us today. This has been Jacob Engel, who is the author of The Prosperous Leader. Please go to theprosperousleader.com to find out more about Jacob, about the companies and entrepreneurs he serves. Check out his book. Purchase his book. Go ahead and purchase his book. And get the 10 commandments and the 20 stories of leadership that he has distilled into his own book of wisdom. And listeners, we absolutely love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.